This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Live off the record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, Burger King, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I know it's overcast. You know what I always say? It's a beautiful day because you're here, I'm here, where we have opportunities, we have choices, we got life. Hey, it's a beautiful day. Don't make no difference what the weather doing. My friend used to say to me all the time when it rains, and I used to complain, he said, man, the trees got to eat too. And I agree with him on that. But welcome. I hope you had a great weekend, restful weekend. I can't say I had a restful weekend. I worked very hard over the weekend, but hey, thank God I could work it. Yeah. If today you want to give us a call at all on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. Or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. My wonderful mother is listening to us live, I believe, now on Cable Bahamas Channel 969. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. I want to thank so many of you who I see as I move about, who express your enjoyment, appreciation of learning from this show. I thank you for saying so. Those of you who sometimes raise questions and queries about some ways to do things better or differently, et cetera, thank you also for that. I want to thank our sponsors, faithful sponsors, for patronizing the show and all the other ones who are coming on. Thank you for your sponsorship. We trust that we do justice to your brand in getting it to an audience of people ready for information, insight, and inspiration, which is what we try to provide here on Z Live. I want you to know that's what the aim is for me, to provide you with information, insight, and inspiration. And insight is understanding from the information. Information is really the facts and data that you might be able to get at any given point in time, but what we try to give you also is insight so that you can understand and be able to use that information, that insight to your betterment. And that's the inspiration. That's the thing that gets into your spirit and tells you, I can get this done and I want to get this done. Because at the end of the day, my friend, if you're spending 2 hours listening to anything, you want to be able to benefit from it. And that's important, all right? So glad you could join us today. So I have a number of things that I would wish to comment on, but I'm going to zoom in on a particular topic later on, but just comment on a few things at the beginning. The former prime minister, current leader of the Free National Movement, Dr. Hubert Minnis, at the 50th anniversary church service of the Free National Movement, and I congratulate the party on its 50th anniversary. It is an achievement. It has been a significant contributor to the democracy of this country, to the development of this country. Many men and women who have, on the basis of their conviction and on the basis of their determination and diligence, give yeoman service to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and it doesn't make any difference whether somebody believes it or not, whether you hate the torch or not. Fact of the matter is, the Free National Movement has been a bulwark in the political arena in the country and has offered us an option and an alternative that has brought light and light and development to the Bahamas through its service in government. Was it perfect? Who needs to use that word in the context of any human endeavor? Did it do some good? Absolutely. Did it make some mistakes? Did some things it should not have done, perhaps? Yes. But hey, it has been a positive force in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Same thing is true of the Progressive Liberal Party. Same thing is true. But today I'm talking about the Free National Movement, which has is celebrating 50 years. And at that church service, where I'm still trying to get it, the preacher, I understand, provided a very sobering message to the Free National Movement supporters attending. Get that at some point. But Dr. Minnis is reported to have expressed his remorse over mistakes he may have made, even tearfully doing so, and asking forgiveness for those mistakes. Let me say this up front. If he is asking for forgiveness, he has mine, okay? I judge no one's heart. I don't know what's in any man's heart. If he tells me, if he says, he acknowledges that he's made mistakes and asks forgiveness for them, and he's gonna get it from me, all right? That's done, no question about it. Done, period. Get mad with me if you want, done. Now, let me say this though, the actions of Dr. Minnis and his team in governance will continue to be evaluated by me and many others. And those are beyond any request for forgiveness. Those are public policy determinations, and the results of which have got to be evaluated over time, and whether they are good, bad, or ugly is all the same. It makes no difference. But if you're forgiven and that evaluation and assessment is done, that changes nothing about the governance. The government, the governing decisions that were made, they will continue to be evaluated. Those things that were done by commission, what you did do, or those things that were done by omission, what you didn't do. That's the nature of the beast. That is true for his administration, the Ingram administration, of which I was a part, and for the pending administration, the Christie administration, all will continue to be judged by the actions taken and the consequences that flowed from those actions. But forgiveness on a personal level for having made some judgments perhaps that ought not to have been made, that's an easy thing for a Chicago line to do. Easy. Given. Done. Period. One thing I know though is when you ask forgiveness for errors made, things done, really the only genuine and authentic stamp on that request is the behavior and conduct demonstrated going forward. Okay, so someone can forgive, but the extent to which there is a change in relation to the behavior and conduct, well, that's a matter of behavior going forward. And this is true in all human relationships, and it's certainly true in the leadership and political environment in which we find ourselves. And so we'll have to see how Dr. Minnis plays out his future, both as the current leader and, if he no longer retains leadership, as a member of the Free National Movement and a member of the House of Assembly under the Free National Movement banner, under the leadership of somebody else. We'll have to see that. That's going to be the only real story. It makes no sense obsessing over what has been done. As I indicated, there will continue to be evaluations of performance, decisions, judgments made and the consequences that flow from them. That's a matter. That's the way history is. That's the way political analysis is. That's the way punditry is. So that's going to happen. But as to doing something about the choice, you can't do anything about it. Can't. You can only now do something today and tomorrow and see whether that reflects a new or different or better attitude. And that's where I am with that. I want in this moment to say some of us, we get stuck on hate. We get stuck on bad feelings. We get stuck on animosity. We get stuck on jealousy. We get stuck on envy. We get stuck on malice. I mean, we literally get stuck. And so we have some colleagues, some co-workers. We got some family members. We have some friends. We have some neighbors. We just cannot get unstuck from that that loop of negativity that keeps playing itself out as we tell ourselves stories about them and us versus them and them versus us and what they did to us or what they didn't do for us. So we get stuck in that way. And listen, you can stay there if you want, if you're F&M. You can stay there if you want, if you're PLP. You can stay there if you want. At the end of the day, you ain't eating up nobody but yourself, right? That's reality. You are that canker worm, that canker sore that is festering. It festers within you, not the other person, not the other persons. It festers in you. And a political party that gets stuck on malice, gets stuck on its negativity, gets stuck on its past, is a political party that will die and have no or limited future. You don't want to do that, right? So you pick up and put on your big boy, your big girl underclothes and get to the next thing, the next best thing, the next positive thing. Same thing for individual human beings on the planet. So that's the first thing. Second thing, there is a contemplation on the part of the Prime Minister, it seems, to appoint Mr. Shane Gibson, former cabinet minister, member of parliament, to the board of BTC. And no doubt that has raised some specter of controversy because of Mr. Gibson's being marched before the courts in relation to some corruption charges, which he was acquitted of. Okay, there is no guilt attached to him in respect of any such matter at all. And it doesn't matter whether you think he's guilty or not. It doesn't matter. In the reality of our world, in under the laws of our planet, unless you are charged and convicted of something, you are innocent before the law. Period. Period. And we have none of us, to accuse a man or a woman of anything for which they have not been convicted. We could express our view, we could express our opinion, but that has nothing to do with their standing in the world insofar as a bona fide charge of anything is concerned. Now, just remember in all these things, and this only matters because this is public policy. If Mr. Gibson were not a public figure, had not been a government minister, this would be like quiet talk in the corner about somebody you heard about some time ago, and it really don't make that much difference. But in point of fact, he's a public figure and he's being appointed to a public post. Okay, that's why it matters. And once that happens, three things come into view. Three things. One, the politics comes into view. What's the politics? I'm talking about the raw consideration of the partisan realities confronted by the Prime Minister as he makes his determinations about how to govern the country, right? Raw partisan politics. Mr. Gibson was a serving member of the Progressive Liberal Party. Cabinet minister served in the cabinet of a Progressive Liberal Party administration. and saving, and except for his resignation under circumstances that were less than favorable to him and them, he served with distinction for them, right? And so when you look at a person like him and look at a prime minister and think that he could possibly serve and help, the politics of that is straightforward, right? You want to enable him to participate, period. Just on the top of it, right? Because all the other things you just take account of, here's a man, one of us, served with us. Okay, boom. So that's the politics of it. Now there is the public opinion of it, okay? And the public opinion of it might be favorable, might be less favorable, might be controversial, might be non-controversial, but the public opinion is going to come up. And the public doesn't need a set of hard facts to form an opinion. They can, on the basis of circumstantial this and circumstantial that, or just on the basis of, child, I don't like you, I don't like them, and they could form an opinion. That's reality, right? That is going to happen. So you have the politics, you have the public opinion, and then you have the public policy. What's the public policy? The public policy is the government's intention in respect of addressing a matter of concern to the public. In this instance, it's the functioning, management, directorship, leadership of the Bahamas Telecommunications Company. How does the government intend to manage that? It's appointing two members. One of those members, it says, would like to be Shane Gibson. So that's a matter of public policy. Is that a good public policy choice? Well, then you ask yourself, does Shane Gibson bring anything to bear on the directorship of the Bahama Telecommunication Company? Then you look at his experience, you look at his knowledge of that area, you look at his work in that area, you look at his union service in that area, and you look at his participation as a cabinet minister, and his knowledge of the Progressive Liberal Party's policy initiatives, et cetera, and you say, there's no question on the public policy end of it, he can bring something positive to bear on that. There's no question about it. The challenge arises in that the politics, the public opinion, and the public policy are all interrelated. And so they play on each other. Okay? And so the prime minister then has to weigh whether public opinion may fester in a way that makes the public policy opportunity challenging for Mr. Gibson to play itself out. Right? Again, sometimes you have to take account of public policy. You really do. I mean, public opinion, you really do. Bearing in mind, though, that public opinion simply just isn't always informed, isn't always best informed. And in point of fact, may not actually play out, may actually be a hindrance to what could end up being good public policy. Okay? But it's a judgment call. It's a judgment call. So if they appoint Mr. Gibson to BTC's board, am I going to cry foul? I will not. Are they going to be able to get beyond the fact that it may not be a good look? No, they're not. Especially for some people, might there be cries of X, Y, and Z? There might very well be, but how very often have we not seen that in many instances, right? And so at the end of the day, the prime minister has to make a, listen, on the pure governance point, he has to make a decision. Whether or not the value that a Shane Gibson can bring to the board of BTC outweighs any political capital that could be expended because of what might appear to be a bad look, controversial appointment, a reputational challenge in the instance. That's a judgment to be made. And quite frankly, the prime minister's already demonstrated that he is prepared to overlook these things in some instances so that he might get the value out of the folks that he desires. You know, I can tell you this much, boy. I don't want to live in a world where people are pretentious about the realities that we face. Many, many people in this country have great reputations who may not deserve them because their characters don't reflect it. And then there are other people who have terrible reputations where their characters might reflect otherwise. This much is true. A man, a woman, who is not encumbered by actual convictions, actual evidence of wrongdoing, and these kinds of things, still has to live in their world, in their country. Still probably wants to serve. Right now, it is a judgment to be made whether, listen, is this worth it to me and my family to go this route, or can I find a way to serve in other ways? But it's also true that I could want to serve the way I want to serve. And when a prime minister calls on you or when to serve in a capacity, you honestly, you want to do that. You really do. And generally speaking, you don't want to say no. You don't. But you know, you make the judgment and you move on. You know, I remember, which you got to do like every day, right? No matter what these folks out there screaming and crying and talking about you and saying about you, listen, you got to live still. And every day you get up, you just put one foot in front of the other, being mindful of the purpose you have in your life, and you do what you got to do in it. And keep doing it, do it to the best of your ability. Being aware, mindful, to avoid the things or any kinds of things that could cause further challenge to your situation. But you do what you got to do. You got to live. You got to live in the country. And I would not want to live a life where I'm around here pretending like I'm some pariah, some leper. Why? Because you have a view? Mm-mm, I'm not going to do that. Even people people who find themselves convicted, they're young men, women, not so young men and women, right in our prison today, haven't been convicted rightfully now. I'm not talking about people who may have been convicted wrong, who may have been convicted wrongfully. The people who have been convicted rightfully, even when they served their time, they've served their time, man. And they ought to walk out of prison and they ought to walk out with a new perspective on the world, and with a new determination that I am going to live to maximize my potential. And they ought to be permitted to do so. It is us, and I have a personal experience with that through my now deceased brother, who came out of prison, right? And this I'm talking about, who came out of prison, got all his GCs, which he didn't have before he went there, develop an artistic way about him, wrote plays and all that kind of stuff. Highly commended for all the work that he did. And came out and the society would not let him live down his past. Job after job, no, sorry, sorry, sorry. And I understand that. I understand that can happen. Couldn't live down his past. Right? And that's for people who've been convicted. Why would you, as somebody who's not been convicted of anything, have to live and should live in a society where you're made to feel like a pariah? So the judgment is the prime minister's to make. And, you know, we will see. We will see. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we've got some other things we want to discuss with you. We'll be back after this break.
Hello? Yes, it's time. I know a lot sooner than we thought. Well, that's thanks to those returns from my RF Mutual funds. You know they have some of the best performing funds in the market. Yep. With what I've been earning, I can finally set a date for my product launch. Draft the paperwork. I'm on my way.
Reach your financial goals sooner with RF Mutual Funds. Sign up by November 29th for a chance to win $1,000. Find out more at rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
We are working to protect our country, our people, and our livelihoods so that we can move forward. The vaccine is safe. The vaccine is easy. The vaccine is essential for our recovery. If we want to rebuild our economy, if we want to get back to our jobs, if we want to get back to our lives, our families, we must do this together.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pull my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Come back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Trust that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call at all, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232, or you can call us on 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. The Deputy Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Minister of Tourism and Investment, and the Member of Parliament for Exuma is encouraging Chinese investors to take advantage of opportunities in tourism, agriculture, and renewable energy sectors, and to partner with the government on projects such as the upcoming public-private partnership airport redevelopment project. I agree with him 100%. I agree with him 100%. 100%. Now, this is decidedly a change in posture of the government of the Bahamas insofar as policy is concerned. And why do I say that? The former administration took a tepid view of Chinese investment. They were gun-shy of, Chinese investment, largely because the United States of America had begun to express concerns about Chinese investments in the Caribbean. You'll recall that under Donald Trump, they were hauled there in Washington to talk about this, et cetera, right? And so the Bahamas and the Caribbean was getting embroiled in the Chinese-American economic geopolitical debate. And there was not a upfront courting of Chinese investments, though the Chinese had already invested significantly in the region and in the Bahamas and had an interest in doing even more. And so you hardly heard any government member or the government itself extending a hand to the Chinese to invest. Of course, some of that was buying into some of the public fears and anxieties over Chinese participation as well. Right here in the Bahamas. Yes, some of you listening. Chinese taking over. They trying to run the country. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Meanwhile, the Chinese all over the world investing, all over the world, including investing in the United States of America. In the United States of America. In fact, China had begun to overtake the United States of America as the world's top destination for new direct investment and the third in terms of outward direct investment, investing more than $2.58 trillion in the world. Now, the Chinese ain't investing the whole of the Caribbean more than $7 billion, not in the whole Caribbean. So of the $2.58 trillion they invested, they didn't invest more than $7 billion of that in the Caribbean. So where else did they invest the $2.58 trillion then? All over the world. They invested. Now, some people say, well, the Chinese have a motivation to become a global dominant economic force. And let me ask you a question. If the Commonwealth of the Bahamas could become a global economic force, would you not? I'm asking you, folk, if it were possible that the Commonwealth of the Bahamas could become a global player investing like the United States of America, like China, like the Netherlands, which invested $3.8 trillion. Why wouldn't you? Of course you would. So why? Because it's the Chinese, it's a problem. Oh, because they're communist? Oh, I see. I could understand maybe some of that may influence how one thinks of them. That is possible. That's possible. So the Chinese are playing seriously in the world. They are doing substantial investment in the world. They are doing increasing investment in the world. And they are not playing, okay? There are ideological differences between China and the United States of America. There are even ideological political differences between ourselves and China. That notwithstanding, the United States of America has 1, diplomatic relations with the People's Republic of China, 2, substantial trade with the People's Republic of China, 3, it borrows substantially from the People's Republic of China. They own and hold substantial U.S. foreign debt. So what is our problem exactly if the Chinese find profitable opportunities to invest in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? Why would we not want them to? The Chinese isn't saying, I'm going to require your government system to change. Chinese are not saying, I'm going to require your educational system to change. The Chinese aren't saying that I'm going to require you to change your ideological bent in terms of culture and that kinds of stuff. The Chinese aren't saying any of those things. Chinese are saying, we want to invest in your country. Yes, we want to be able to call on your influence when it is time and possible if you can support us, but I can't make you do it. I can only ask you to do it. And if you make an investment in the country, if the Chinese make an investment in the country, well, yes, they can have an influence on your economic outlook for sure, but how is that different than if the Americans do it, if the Canadians do it, if the Germans do it, the French do it, the British do it? How is that any different? Because it's the Chinese? Really? Really? And is the, has the Chinese been the activist players in global affairs as has been other countries? Have they been? Or have they kind of been quiet, so quieter souls? Do the Chinese have issues with human rights? They do. They absolutely do. Do other countries?
Mm-hmm.
Does the Bahamas? Maybe not as extensive, but they do. And so we shouldn't be afraid. I don't see why if you invest in my country, I can't tell you, listen, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with your handling them children like that. I don't agree with you on that policy. Because if the Chinese respect you and want you to respect them, then they got to be able to be prepared to hear you say to them, I don't agree with that. I don't practice it here, right? But as to their investing in the country, Mr. Deputy Prime Minister, you and I are 100% together on that. So long as it's an appropriate investment, so long as it's a meaningful investment, so long as it is a beneficial investment to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, yes, I agree. Let me tell you something. It's hard to need your economy to grow substantially over a sustained period of time. Listen to me when I tell you. The Bahamas economy don't need to grow 1%, 1%, 1.5%, 2%. It don't need to grow 4%, then 1%, and then 0.5%, and then 2%. It needs to grow steadily by 3, 4, 5% on an annual basis over a period of time. It ain't gonna happen with American investments playing cute about investing in the Bahamas. The Americans are investing substantially throughout the world, $8+ trillion. When was the last time you saw a substantial American investment in the Bahamas? Or in the Caribbean? I would, for one, welcome it. But now, one of the most significant ones was the purchase of the old Barco. Now, what's the name of it now? Because it happened when we were in office. They purchased that for almost $1.8 trillion, I think it was. So that was one. But there has not been substantial investments, especially in tourism and other affairs in this country in a long time. Right? But if the Americans took an interest in the Bahamas and wanted to invest that way, hey, would we not be happy to? Yeah, we would be. And so you're not going to be able to grow without substantial investment. And if the Chinese are willing, if the Germans are willing, if the Africans are willing, if the Middle Easterners are willing, if the South Americans are willing, the North Americans are willing, the Bahamas must be open to investment. They must be open to investment. We have to also be men and women mature enough to know what we want, know what our interests are, negotiate toward our interests, and then be able to stand our ground on the things which we believe fundamentally and philosophically. We have to be able to do that. And to be able at times to walk away from some things and say, you know, thank you very much, but our differences on these matters are so fundamental that I'm sorry, can't deal with that, won't accept that. And so we move on. We have to be able to do that as well. So we are in need of investment, but we are in need of investment that represents a partnership between us and our neighbors. Because if you want to invest here, it's because you think it's your interest. And we want you to invest here because we think it's in our interest. And we have to be clear on the two. And this is an area for leadership. Let me be very clear. Leadership. That you will always have commentary from the public as to your determinations and decisions on this in this respect. they and the public may not be seized of all the information you're seized about. They ought to be given as much information as you can give them so that they can be informed about why and how you're making a determination on a matter. But they may not be seized. So you have to lead. We have to lead in this area and be able at the end of the day to have wisdom, be justified of our children. When the results and the fruit of the labor is there, the same people who criticize, same people who condemn, may be the same people chewing their muttons and saying, thank God for that decision that they made. You got to lead on this one. My brother, Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Tourism, I commend you. Yeah, I commend your administration for taking this firm stand. Now, if you come and change it because somebody say, and you know, I ain't sure we should have gone and said that, but that's a different story, right? But on this call, I commend you. I think it's a good move. Now, go to the United States and invite them too. Go to Germany and invite them too. Mr. Deputy Prime Minister, as the Minister responsible for investments, listen, don't mind these people talking. You're already Minister of Tourism. If you get an opportunity to go and sit and talk with people who might be interested in investing in this country and it requires you to fly away and do so, go fly away, brother. Report your expenses and what have you and so forth, but go fly away. Go get them. Go do what you got to do. Sitting down here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas ain't gonna do it. If you could do it by Zoom, that happened too, but there's some investors I know, they need to be sitting across from you so that they can look in your eyes and you can look in theirs. They won't see your body posture. They won't feel they won't get a sense of your authenticity. Do what you got to do. You are the Minister of Investment, and investments are critical to revving up the Bahamian economy. Do what you got to do. Lead. Do what you got to do, sir. Lead. You're a businessman. Use that business acumen and go get it. Go get it done. Lead, sir. I'm telling you right now, don't mind all that rah-rah and la-la and so forth and so forth. There are lots of people who comment in this country. They simply, not because it's their fault, they simply do not understand fully and appreciate fully how things should do. So this same statement that you're making, inviting the Chinese, please make it to the Americans, make it to the Canadians, make it to the French, make it to the British, make it to the Germans, make it to the Italians, make it to the Brazilians, make it to all the people you can, the South Africans, the Nigerians, who go all over the world and go make the same pitch. Make it to the Bahamian business person, the ones with money sitting in the bank. Make the same pitch, because we are going to require it. And the Chinese are no different. They should be treated no differently. We're not talking about their governing philosophy. We're not talking about their political ideology. We're not talking about their religious fervor. We're not talking about their cultural stances. We're talking about their economic interest. And we know the Chinese have a lot of cash. And they have a longer term horizon than you tend to get from others. Others tend to come in and they want money quick in a hurry. So they don't want to take no losses from you. So they can't be patient for an investment. The Chinese can. Look how long they had Alukaya there making no money for them. Ain't close it down till a couple of years ago. And that's how they go. They're patient. They have a long game. They work with you, right? And welcome others to do the same thing. And I commend it as a policy. I think it'd be helpful if we can get them in, especially on some of the public-private partnerships required. And I can tell you one thing I understand from the Chinese, though, is they want to work with big projects. They typically want to work with big projects. And, a couple hundred million dollars ain't really a big project for them. And they have long timelines. In 20, 30 years, that ain't nothing for some of them. So there has to be a level of flexibility in trying to work with them to satisfy the interests that both countries have. Right? And so We'll see what happens as this plays out. Deputy Prime Minister says that there's a critical need for investment in the sector, critical. In many sectors, he's talking about agriculture. So far, he says we import $1 billion in food every year. There's critical need for investment in agriculture initiatives to increase our nation's food security. I heard somebody call in to Brother Juan's show talking about how frightening the issues are we are having in the global supply chain for food and being really concerned. I don't share that panic. I really honestly don't. Say, what, Shabab, you don't share that panic? I do not. Why don't I share that panic? You know why I don't share that panic? You go in the food store and you go down the skew of items in the food store. The vast majority of those items represent mostly our appetite for luxury things. They don't represent essentials for our nutrition. They do not. They represent what we can afford because we have prospered that way. You know, do we need stovetop topping? No. Ketchup? No. Mustard? We do not. Cap'n Crunch? We do not. Rice Krispie? We do not. Salad dressings? We do not. You just go down and go in the interior of the stores. I'm not saying you shouldn't be able to or want to purchase them if you can. I'm saying they're not essentials to our nutritional well-being. In fact, as I was speaking to a medical doctor, many of them are impediments to our health and wellness. Impediments. Now, I'm not stopping you from buying and purchasing them. We are always told, people who are telling you when you're trying to eat healthier, go and purchase on the exterior of the store where the cold and fresh items are. They are more essential. But that stuff on the interior, spaghetti in the can. I love sardine and grits, but sardine in the can, I love better boiled fish and grits when I didn't get to boil the fish right from out the waters in the Bahamas. So what the supply chain disruption will do to us is more affect our luxury appetite than it will affect our basic nutritional needs in this country. In point of fact, if that happens, we may out of necessity convert to something more nutritious, and talk more about that when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break, after the news break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
To Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free. I'd love to hear from you. 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316 or 325-4259. 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Yes, somebody reminded me it was Buckeye. Buckeye was formerly Buaco, was purchased by an American company out of Texas. And I have no doubt that that acquisition was kind of strategic for them. Buckeye is an oil bunkering facility. They don't process oil there. They don't refine oil. They simply import the oil, store it there for redistribution elsewhere. So that's the one American investment. I think there might be still some version of Citibank, here. And I'm sure there are other American investments here, but it's not substantial, and certainly nothing substantial outside of Buckeye has happened in the last two decades. Mostly we've seen substantial investments by the Chinese, by Kirzner and them. That's practically it. Now, the Carnival Group, I don't know if the Carnival Group might represent America. I think it's an American company. So Carnival and Royal Caribbean might be. So Disney seeking to invest an American group, yeah. So I know Americans are involved with Albany, because you have Tiger Woods involved with that, but there's also on the other side of that a British investor. And so what the mix is in terms of who substantially owns what. So the Americans have had some play here, but you know, the Chinese have been stepping up, not just in terms of the direct investment, but also in some public infrastructure work and so forth and so forth. And so the deputy prime minister, minister of investments is seeking to, tourism investments and aviation is seeking to get them to do more, and I'm with him. I hope and trust they do more. I hope them and the Americans and the Germans and the French and all of them do more. And I hope we go out into the world and go and encourage them to do more. COVID might be a bit of a restraint at the moment, but there are opportunities still to go and to promote and to do so by encouraging some of these folks holding up on all these dollars here, maybe. You know, it is interesting to think that if Bahamians are not going to invest sizably in their own economies now, it's interesting to think that they think that others might do so. The only difference is others may see global opportunities that the Bahamian does not see. And it is that opportunity that they are seeking to take advantage of. And so our hope is that by virtue of what they do, they are creating more diversity in both industry and the clientele for the Bahamas to give us more rigor and robustness in the face of international economic shocks. And so we have to see. This text says, Lang, you are so right. America don't want Chinese to invest in our country or for us to borrow from them, yet they do it by the billions. We have to do things better better for our country, I assume, and dare America to respect us whether they like it or not. I'm ready for the agriculture and fishing investments. We need the help. Also, we will be partners through PPPs, yes? If we negotiate properly, we have no reason to fear the Chinese. I agree with you 100%. You know, I will never take the posture that we should stick our fingers up to the Americans or disregard the beautiful, very beneficial relationship we have with the United States of America. I mean, America is the Bahamas' closest ally. It is the Bahamas' best neighbor. It has come to our aid over and repeatedly, and it has benefited from us as well as partners in the process. And so we have a great relationship. We should nurture that more. We should be more strategic, more assertive in trying to develop that relationship. I have some thoughts about that relationship. I'm prepared to share today, but I'm telling you, I mean, I think that the Bahamas could do much better by forging a more strategic relationship with the United States of America. One that's based not on dependency, but based on interdependency, and one that that represents a respectful regard for what both can bring to the table, not pretentious. You can't pretend you have the military hegemony America has. You can't pretend you have the economic might America has. You can't pretend that you have the resources America has or the intellectual advances and technological advances America. We do not. And we don't need to pretend that way. But we also should see ourselves as capable of contributing to all those areas by virtue of any number of strategic realities that we have. And we just need to, we need to be more intelligent about it. Intelligent, let me tell you something, right? Let me tell you something. We've been very fortunate in the Bahamas. Some accidents of our history, like geography and politics, quality have blessed us. And we have, our political leadership has over time in many ways embraced policy positions that have helped us. I don't care what you say. That's the truth. Helped us to take advantage of those accidents of history. But let me tell you all something. Some of those accidents are no longer the outright competitive advantage they used to be. They are not any longer. Where sand and sea still remain attractive features of our economic reality, they are not as attractive as they used to be. And so history is calling on the people of the Bahamas to tax their brains for more substantial thoughts around the generating value of a global nature, such that we can find greater prosperity on the planet. That casual, laid back, it's gonna happen to us because we're just blessed attitude may not work for us as it may have in the past. That willingness to say, well, that's just how we do it in the Bahamas. It's good enough for the Bahamas. Mm-mm. Won't do it. And the truth of the matter is, having not been rehearsed, having not been compelled, having not been demanded to generate more intellectual output of a value of global proportions, we simply, in far too many instances, don't know how to do it. We don't. We don't know how to do it. And you get mad with me as you want. We don't know how to do it. We don't have the discipline to do it. But doesn't mean we cannot acquire it. We can acquire it. And that means some of us, not all of us, because all of us ain't gonna be interested in this stuff. Some of us in the realm of manufacturing, some of us in the realm of agriculture, some of us in the realm of tourism, some of us in the realm of banking, some of us in the realm of financial finances, some of us in the realm of technology. We have got to acquire the knowledge and skillfulness to do that, to generate value, generate real global value toward producing wealth for ourselves and our nation. This ain't no government responsibility. The government can help. This is on us. This is on us. Like, take your own situation right now. Just your own situation. And ask yourself this question. Why are you not making more money than you make it? Ask yourself that question. Why? Why are you not? Ask yourself this question. If I could make more money, would I not make more money? Ask yourself that question. Somebody answer me, send me a text and say, no, I wouldn't make more money, Shibab. If I could make more money, I wouldn't make more money. Send me that, please. If I could make more money right now, Shivago, I wouldn't make more money, please. Or you could tell me, boy, Shivago, if I could make more money, you better believe I'd make more money. I can tell you one thing. Not only would I seek to do so, right? Why wouldn't you? In a world where everything is commoditized, there's a price tag on everything, but your kids have aspirations and you have aspirations for them, and it requires you to be able to fund that. You have obligation, debt, and otherwise, and you want to fund it comfortably. Why wouldn't you want to make more money? But if you would want to make more money, ask yourself, why can't you? Why can't you? Tell you, ask yourself that question. I'm giving you the time. Somebody asked me, Mr. Lang, would you support the Chinese fishing and farming in the Bahamas? They purchased lots of crown land, which was proposed under last PLP administration. I do not have, a difficulty with anyone fishing in our waters under license on a sustainable basis, where it is of immense benefit to the Bahamas and Bahamians. Now, my preference would be that the robust commercial fishing that takes place in the Bahamas would be led by Bahamians. So I could see Bahamians getting themselves in good relationships with others for fishing, and maybe on the fishing end of it, we are the lead, but on the processing end of it, we may be partners, et cetera. But I'm not prepared to close off any prospect of good, sensible relationships and investment opportunities that's sustainable for us by simply thinking foreign behavior. I'm not prepared to do that. I'm not. I just don't think that's sensible. I think you look at the opportunity, weigh the rationality and the benefits and challenges of, and you see all the nuances of it, and then you can make a judgment whether this works for us or not, whether the value, the return to us is sizable enough to warrant my going in that direction. So we have to be able to think strategically about all of these issues. Okay? So the question is, why aren't you making more money? Let me tell you one of the first reasons that is so. One of the first reasons that most of us are not making more money is because we ain't thinking about making more money. We don't. We're not. We simply bought into, we can't, I am where I am, I'm stuck where I'm stuck, I don't have the capacity, or maybe I can just dream about it, that's for other people, that's, they know how to, but, and so we, that's where we are, we make what we make, because that's what we're gonna make, and we just don't think I can make more money, that's the truth, because getting different and better in any circumstance is always first a matter of mindset, always first. And the Bahamas has to have and embrace the same mindset that it can do better, that it needs to do better, that it's possible to do better. And without that mindset, there's no motivation, no energy, there's no intentionality, there is no mental focus toward doing better. That's not, that's the reality. You have to think that this is what I want. And you have to wake up with that. You know, most of us, when we wake up in the morning, no, we do. We wake up with our problems on our minds. Your problems are always related to your past. And so if you wake up with your problems on your mind, you wake up thinking about your past. And if you're thinking about your past, you're certainly not putting the energy into thinking about your future. And therefore, is there any doubt that you keep replicating your past experiences because your energy is focused on your past, your problems. Same thing is true about the Bahamas. Oh, we used to be this, we used to be that, we used to be that, we used to be this, we used to be. But what can you be? What should you be? That's where the difference gets made. So somebody says to me, say, you are compromised. And I think it's important to say that. It's important for me to say I'm compromised. If I am not, that's important. I would lie on myself. And so I said, about what? So about how we make more money. So the Chinese, we embrace them at what price? WTO hasn't lived up to its potentialities. This is why the Chinese, at what price? I could tell you what we embrace, what's the price we embrace the Chinese at? The price of creating jobs for the thousands of Bahamians who are hurting in this country, for the hundreds of business people who have the capacity to make abundantly more profits so that they can enjoy a greater wealth in this country. That's the price. What other price is there? Tell me, somebody tell me, please. Send me a text. What is the price to be paid from the United States of America having Chinese investments or Canada having Chinese investments? Tell me what the price is. Please, somebody, hurry up. I'm going to wait. We can take a break. I'll give you some time so you can tell me what the price is. I don't want you to speculate about it. Give me the price. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabar Belang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Marsh the car. The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
BK NASA and Pepsi want to bring you a fun day on us. Upgrade your favorite combo and get a chance to win great prizes like staycations at Atlantis or Baja Mar, powerboat adventure excursions, or a Blue Lagoon dolphin encounter. You can also win a relaxing day at Sandy Toes or a VIP movie experience at Fusion. Upgrade your combo at any of Burger King NASA's 7 locations and enter to win online at bk242.com. Win fun days with Pepsi and Burger King, where taste is king.
We are working to protect our country, our people, and our livelihoods so that we can move forward. The vaccine is safe. The vaccine is easy. The vaccine is essential for our recovery. If we want to rebuild our economy, if we want to get back to our jobs, if we want to get back to our lives, our families, we must do this. Together.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to call us, please feel free to do so on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us, as many number of people are doing, on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, it seems apparent to me that some of us believe that there are certain kinds of countries from which we should get investments. So if we don't get it from China, tell me the country where we should get it from, people, please. Tell me tell me that beautiful country which you would love to have substantial investments from. Please tell me, since we can't get it from the Chinese. Please tell me. This text says the Chinese coming in will not only come here to fish, but help us to grow and expand our growth of fishing. They will show us how we can have fish, conch, lobster farms. We can't just wait on nature and time. We have to help it along by growing fish and conch from babies. I got you. So I love pintad, but to stop exporting fish and conch was the wrong approach. We needed to start producing more and for more export. I agreed you on that score. I agreed you. And we can do these things sustainably. So I agree with you on that score. Text. Said the ends in your, not sure what that's saying. Anyways, we should just decide, like, who's good to have investments from. If America built Bahama, funded our bridge and so forth, would that be better? Would we be better off? If they owned the container port and Alukaya, would we have been better off? Would that have made us eat more comfortable? Going forward, is that what we want? That's what we need? More Americans, Canadians, French, maybe the Italians? I'm all for a diverse group of investors. Don't get me wrong. I'm for diversity in your investment portfolio. So a diversity of sources, so Bahamian, Italian, French, American, Chinese. But so you don't want to have a concentration of any one nation in your investment portfolio. But by the same token, you got to take the ones who are willing and interested in investing. Because while the grass is growing, the cows are starving. So you still have to have the investment take place. And let me tell you something, folk. These investments are not cold cash dollars, and that's what we're thinking about. For all the people in the Bahamas who say, oh, we need to be owners. I agree with you, man. God bless you. If you could own. But the vast majority of people in this country, in almost every country, I don't know a country where it's not so. The vast majority of people are going to require a job to take care of their families. So let me put this into some human perspective for you. That mommy and that daddy with a high school education, perhaps less, didn't stop them. Their high school education or less didn't stop them from meeting each other, being interested in each other, loving each other, being attracted to each other, maybe getting married, maybe not getting married, being intimate with each other, and then having children, not one, not two, maybe three, four, five, six, seven. Those children, that family, exist. And while you, because you're comfortable with your income, are philosophizing about what we should and should not do, they have mouths to feed. They have a roof to put over heads. They have clothes to put on bodies. They have obligations to meet for the education of their children. And they cannot meet them without a job. That same simple thing you condemn us to as being, we got to move away from that. That's what is their dream. A steady, stable income to give to the landlord, to give to the bank, to give to the doctor, to give to the grocery store, while you and I run on with nonsense. The vast majority of them, their lives are going to be a matter of, can I work somewhere, take in an income and pay my obligations so my family could live a dignified life in the Bahamas? How is that going to happen? Where are those jobs going to come from for them? Where is it going to come from? They're not, these aren't people trying to own Atlantis. They're not trying to own BTC. Their ambitions are simple. My baby is crying in need of milk. The landlord is pressing me in need of the month rent. And we run, you're talking nonsense. Because you know why? Because we have mutton to sit down and chew on every day. While these people have mouths to feed that look to them every day. Every day. And you know, any man or woman could tell you who's ever been head of household, who's ever been a part of leading a household, you want to crush a human spirit? Let that person be unable to meet their obligations. Let them be unable to fund their children's basic needs, some lunch, some school books, some uniform. You let them be unable to do that. You let the child get sick and they are unable to get them the attention they need. It breaks the spirit. While we run on talking nonsense. These investments are not light issues. These are human matters. These are human realities. And had not Bahamian men and women invested in businesses and therefore need employees and hire some of these people would be, many more would be stuck in that same way. And had not many of foreigners decided to invest in our tourism and financial services and other sectors. Similarly, many Bahamians who, by virtue of that job, afforded their own children an advancement in this world where they are now able to fend for themselves here in the Bahamas or elsewhere in the world. So don't take lightly these need for capital for investment. Don't you want to cuss the government on the one hand because there ain't no jobs being created, and then on the other hand, cut off the thing that gets the investment that we can't. We have to be sensible about this stuff. We need the investments. We need a Bahamian man with money to invest to invest. We need the foreign man with money to invest, willing to invest in the Bahamas to invest. And if some of them are Chinese and some of them are Americans and some of them are French and some of them are British, God bless us. Let's get what we can get. That's all I'm saying. Because at the end of the day, the punishment for not doing so are your mothers and fathers, your brothers and your sisters, your uncles and your aunts, your cousins, your neighbors, your church colleagues, your work on unemployment colleagues, and so many others. So we have to be strategic. One of the things that I thought did not happen over the last 4 years was I didn't think that there was an active enough investment promotion initiative for the country. I thought that we had adopted an attitude that had been ours for a long time, where we kind of just sit around and wait for people to take an interest in us. Well, you know, when you take a wait and see attitude to people taking an interest in you, then they bring you their interest. But when you go out to them, you go with your interest. You think about the portfolio of prospects and possibilities that could exist in the country. And you take your business people with you. You take those people looking for, you know, they tell you, well, you know, government, I would do this if I could find the capital. And so what you're doing is you're putting them together with the capital that exists there to see if there could be a meeting of the minds. And then they could together forge some enterprise that inures to the benefit of the country. So we have to go and get it. Now, listen to me, you, Bahamian, listen to me. I know that when you hear talk of investment, you don't put yourself a lot of times in that same boat. You know, that's for the big people to do. That's for the great people to do. That's for them. But that's not true. There are people with money with no idea as to how to make that money grow. And there are people with ideas with no money and don't know how to fund that idea. What has to happen is there has to be a meeting of the minds of the two, and then there can be forged a marriage that could possibly produce an outcome. So some of you, I asked the question before, why don't you earn more than you earn? And the answer starts with, you're not thinking about it. And that's not criticism, that's not condemnation, that's just a reality that many of us aren't there. We don't think about it. And I'm saying to you that it takes nothing away from you when you have time, when you have opportunity, maybe to say, okay, I'm not going to watch TV on this occasion. I'm not going to listen to music on this occasion. I'm going to spend time on this occasion thinking of valuable ideas. And you never know. You never know that yours might be one that could be the most profitable we've seen in a while. Now, that's an exercise. It's work. It really is work. It's not simple, but you can do it. And you may be surprised to know how that expands your opportunities to generate more income. And it is not easy, but it is possible. It is possible, right? And it's an endeavor that for any number of us continues, right? You make some progress, you need to make more progress, right? Because you're trying to get ahead, you're trying to move forward. And you can't, and you don't want, we don't, as a country or individually, want to be simply victims of the wind and waves of life that just pass through. At some point, the extent to which we can be masters of our own destinies, by which we can captain our own ships, that's an attractive and appealing prospect. You know, and you work on it. You work on it. See the extent to which you can make some progress. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Mo's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pulled up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
BK Nassau and Pepsi want to bring you a fun day on us. Upgrade your favorite combo and get a chance to win great prizes like staycations at Atlantis or Baja Mar, powerboat adventure excursions, or a Blue Lagoon dolphin encounter. You can also win a relaxing day at Sandy Toes or a VIP movie experience at Fusion. Upgrade your combo at any of Burger King Nassau's 7 locations and enter to win online at bk242.com. Win fun days with Pepsi and Burger King, where taste is king.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I have a text here that says, what are the negative consequences of foreign investment? Well, firstly, I don't know that there is a negative consequences of foreign investments per se. There are some foreign investments that can have a negative impact, just as some domestic investments can have a negative impact. For instance, you can have a foreign investor who you can have a concentration of foreign investment from a particular country that then creates a dependency on, say, some sector or some industry in that country's stability and what have you. And if that country finds itself in difficulty, then it could impact that investment. So that creates some economic instability for you. There are some investments that can bring a new cultural, bent to your local situation. We've already had that. Like, you know, when we had cable introduced in the Bahamas, cable is a foreign investment, right? And cable brought with it all the exposure that that television enterprise brings. And so has it changed maybe some attitudes, some norms, and what have you? That can happen. That can happen too. You can have some foreign investment, like domestic investments, that also have environmental concerns for you and produce some environmental negative outcomes. So the same kinds of things, in quote, negative, that a domestic investment can have, a foreign investment can have, except that with the foreign investment, there is that element, that new element of influence externally that can impact upon your situation and what have you, right? But this question would be strange for a country that has pretty much developed on foreign investment. So what you should ask yourself is, what negative effects has all the foreign investment we have had in this country since the 1960s and 50s had on the Bahamas? That would be a good, that'd be a good way to answer your question. What are the ways in which all that foreign investment in tourism, all that foreign investment in financial services, all that foreign investment in manufacturing has impacted the Bahamas negatively? You are sitting in a laboratory of this yourself. Then ask yourself, how many positives has the same investment had? And whether you came out better off for it or worse off for it. Because in the end, there's practically no business activity that won't have both some negative and positive. The question is always, does the negative significantly outweigh the positive, significantly outweigh the negative, so that you should move forward? And you are sitting right in a country where you can ask this question yourself. Right now, you have lived this experience now. You have lived this experience. You've been living this experience now for six decades. So all you got to do is look around and say, take away this foreign investment. Would we be better off or would we have been worse off? That's the question. Steck says, great show as usual. Mr. Lang, we in the Bahamas love the Chinese. The Chinese is the only place you could get a full plate of food for $3.50. So we will never go against you. I know about that, buddy. I know some people who they're not all that keen on the Chinese. Somebody told me earlier I'm compromised. I would agree. When it comes to Chinese food, your boy compromised. I don't care what all you're going to say about it. I love me some Asian food. I love me some Chinese food. And I ain't getting against the Chinese or no Chinese food. Okay? All right. So I hope that China investment discussion talk helped. Before we end, I do want to go back to something. Mention something. Mr. Ingram was quite vocal in saying that Dr. Minnis would not offer again to be leader following the next convention. It is instructive that Mr. Ingram felt comfortable about saying that. He has not been quite so vocal matters related to F&M politics in recent times. He certainly wasn't vocal insofar as the recent election was concerned and commenting too much on Dr. Minister F&M's prospects or giving any endorsements or the like, other than for individual candidates. And his having spoken up, I think, was reflective of a new day in the FNM. Somebody just get mad with me. It is a new day in the FNM. I want you all to know that in a deep way. It's a new day. Okay, and the FNM now finds itself trying to find its soul again, trying to decide what it will be again, what will be at its core, what will be its governing philosophy, what will be its modus operandi insofar as the internal and external politics it plays. Is the F&M is now faced with an open prospect of becoming something appealing to a larger number of people than demonstrated that appeal in the last election. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that it believes that its leadership will change. And that's interesting. That's very interesting. It's very interesting because, you know, John Maxwell said, leadership guru, that leadership sets a cap on everything. His basic philosophy is that an organization will rise to the level of its leadership. So if that leadership is only so capable, the organization will rise only so much. If that leadership is more capable, it will rise more so, and so forth and so forth. It is interesting that in the face of loss, the discussion that is paramount for the Free National Movement is not about its systems, not about its team, not about its culture. It is about its leadership. Why? Because it largely believes that its challenges rested with its leadership. And so now it is about that business of defining its leadership going forward. And Mr. Ingram, in somewhat of a poetic irony, pronounced in ways indirectly the departure of Mr. Dr. Minnis, who was wont to declare the end of his own era after the by-election in Abaco, in North Abaco. Remember? The Ingram era is over. Well, Ingram said in not the same kinds of words, the Minnis era is over. And that was telling. But telling more so because it reflects a new day where my suspicion is you will hear some of the more seasoned, some of the more experienced, some of the more historic voices of the Free National Movement weigh in on its development, play a role in its future, even as the new emerging leadership settles in to what will be now their mandate and mission. And I think that the party could only benefit from that kind of a mix. Veterans, emerging leaders working together to get it done. I think it missed that. And now it may well be that it comes to find in that mix a formula that could strengthen it. This text says, my family and I have forgiven Dr. Minnis also. However, we know that humans are not perfect. What we couldn't appreciate that Dr. Minnis deliberately did some things that could have been avoided, allegedly. The arrogance Dr. Minnis displayed throughout his leadership and administration in office, he truly could have been more humble and be more of a team player as opposed to be the competent. We feel these titles were really not necessary. More focus should have been placed on the majority of the country's critical concerns, says that individual. Yeah. So the Progressive Liberal Party pronounced for the country a new day in its governance. And I would dare say there might well be for the Free National Movement a new day. My hope is that the leadership of the party, now an emergent, will really take lessons from its past performance. And that's oftentimes easier said than done, okay? Because you go in these conclaves, you go in these conventions, and you row and you cuss and you complain and you whine about all that happened, that should have happened, etc. you get it off your chest, and then you come out with a new team, and then what happens is you get busy with old habits. That's what happens. Same setup, clannish, cliquish, fractured, fractional, operating, modus operandi, because it's like we don't get it. We don't get it, right? The essential responsibility of leadership is to forge a unit out of many. Let me say it again. The essential responsibility of leadership is to forge a unit out of many, to not seek to quench that diversity that exists in the groupings of people that are being led, but to merge that diversity into something more powerful together than separate. To not be afraid of the talent that is more gifted in one area as compared to yourself. To not pit talents against each other, because in that division, you gain strength. The essential responsibility of leadership is to forge unity out of that diversity, to guide and to direct and to coach that team so that the strength of that center, the handles of that guard, the shooting of that number three spot, all can work together to produce a winning team. So in essence, the leader becomes blind mostly to self, so that the vision becomes of the group, the team, the collective, and its performance in pursuit of the mission for which that organization exists. That's the challenge that faces Prime Minister Davis as head and leader of our country, and whoever emerges as leader of the Free National Movement, and whoever exists as leaders of any of these political parties, to forge out of diversity that one, not to get rid of the diversity, you know. Because if you put combinations of colors together, they produce a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful display. God has shown us and shown us that over and over again in creation. So you're not trying to get rid of the assertive soul. You're not trying to get rid of the articulate soul. You're not trying to get rid of that ground soul. You're not trying to get rid of anybody. You're trying to cause them to work together to produce an awesome force called that organization. Imagine that. An awesome PLP, an awesome FNM, an awesome DNA, an awesome COI. Imagine a country faced with the choices between those awesomeness. Can you be better off? Anyway, God bless you all. You all have a great evening. Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Guess what? Nahaja Black is up next. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow. God's best life. Goodbye.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever.